the fiery darts can come in. And the fiery darts are thoughts that are going to go against the Word of God, right? Thoughts, ideas, suggestions. And that's where it starts to be oppression. The problem is, if you don't have a shield to protect you, and you can think of all your favorite superheroes have shields. I'm thinking of Captain America right now for 4th of July. How many of you know his shield was pretty good? You know, nothing could get through that shield. And so he has a shield. Your faith shield should be the same. Guys, your faith shield in Ephesians 6 should be so strong that as soon as the enemy speaks a word to you or a thought or a suggestion, you go, right? If you let it through, you actually allow it to damage your soul, your heart, not your spirit, man. Your spirit, if you're born again, you're safe. You're not going to get possessed, but you can be obsessed. Okay, so you can move from oppression to obsession. And obsession is like you can't get rid of something. You know, if you're oppressed, you go through a stage like habits. It takes over. There's a natural side to a habit, but then there's this addiction, supernatural thing that you can't get rid of because you're actually carrying an evil spirit. Or you have something in the past that has caused a hold on your life that may have nothing to do with you. May have nothing to do with you. It could be generational. It could be the person you married. When two become one, you get all their baggage. Every person you ever slept with, you get their baggage unless you get rid of it. Because you know, Bible says when you get married, you become one flesh. Well, how did they get married in Genesis? They didn't get down to the altar. They actually slept together and became one. Amen? So all these things are going on that we don't talk about because we don't want to offend anyone. But then we're trying as pastors to try and help everybody, little firemen with fire extinguishers going, psh, psh, putting out all the little fires that are going on in everybody's house. Come and live my life. Okay? Now, I love you, so it's not a problem. But there's a point where I got to be as the parent or this pastor, say, guys, I need you to start to learn to use your face shield. I need you to get with the program because maybe I'm not going to be here next, you know, 10 years, 5 years, 1 year from now. Who are you going to call? Not Ghostbusters. Okay. So my point, what I'm trying to say is there's this thing called freedom in Christ. And, you know, and so we've done this for a number of years, and you've heard me talk about this freedom in Christ, you know, where I was ministering to a couple once, and we were actually praying for healing for the husband. Do you remember I talked about that? Did I talk about that last week or the week before? And we're standing there, and this is in my time in Bolko, and all of a sudden, and they're both born again, spirit-filled, speaking in tongues. So they're all fully in there. I think one of them was a minister. And all of a sudden, we're praying for him, and he's the one that needs healing. And all of a sudden, she starts howling and speaking in some weird tongue off. And started worshiping the sun type, whatever that was. And the guy who we're praying for healing just turns around to his wife and goes, what in the world? This is in my living room. This is in my lounge in Northwest Missouri. So these things are real. I know they're real. And that was easy to spot, right? So I know it's okay. We just sort of get it. Now don't think anything. You can't think anything of anybody with this stuff. Guys, don't judge anybody. Don't even think about it because the enemy has no rules. Guys, the enemy has no rules. There's no rules at all. I remember when I was in children's church, in my old church, back in my first church, and I walked in to just say hi to the kids ministry crew, and I said, I just want to say thank you for helping and stuff. And as I'm looking through the door, this little four-year-old walked across, and I saw, you know, probably what some people, I can draw it for you, but this face was over her face. It was a girl, over her face, and it looked at me, went like that. It was like I know Brother Hagin talks about monkeys. This wasn't like a monkey. This was just some weirdest looking thing I've ever seen. And I thought, oh no! Broke every idea I had that the enemy had rules. There's no rules. A two-year-old, one-year-old, even when it's being born in the womb, the enemy's after it. Okay, and if he can get a hold early, they won't notice. So you might say, well, why are you talking about this? It just shows, I'm trying to say, don't judge anyone. Guys, we can't judge anyone. Please don't, because some kids, you know, it might be further down the line. So I'm not going to say too much, but Jordy and we got together and we went over the stage one, step one. Every one of you that signed up, we're going to go through step one of freedom in Christ. And so we go through a process, but I'm doing it sort of one-on-one now, or two-on-one if it's a girl and myself. Donna's going to help me. But the idea is that we go through a process of repentance, and we go through the process of anything that we know that the Holy Spirit reveals, we deal with. So we'd had some conversations before. We were aware of something, maybe it's like, when, you know, 13 years of age-ish. And so we thought, okay, we'll deal with this stuff. And then we went back to age six. Holy Spirit was guiding all the way through this. I think you'd believe, you know, Jordy would agree with this. And so I remember Jordy is born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaks in tongues, right? Safe, right? Should all be straightforward. Just renounce and announce. Repent, renounce, announce. Those three words. So we get to a statement in here, and for me, Georgie just went silent. He couldn't speak, correct? Correct. He just couldn't speak that phrase. We're talking about, and I'm nearly crying when I think about it, born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. There's something in his past was stopping him from speaking, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, we don't expect that. We don't hear that in the teaching we've had, okay? So anyways, we worked together, didn't we? Managed to break it, and then he got rid of it, and it's been fine ever since on that side, right? It's got better. So glory to God. It went back to age six. He's not responsible for what he did at age six. You see, I hope I'm helping here. And I care enough to bring it to, and I know I did talk with Jordy, I would mention a little bit, they'll have their own testimony. So, can I share a little bit? So I think you guys talked, Donna calls and says, I need to go through freedom in Christ again, all right? And so how many of you know Donna is she's already been through it twice. So Donna is born again, spirit filled. How many of you know, if you want prayer, you call Donna, right? So we're doing something similar. We go through all the bits and pieces. And all of a sudden, is it okay if I share this? Okay. She starts crying profusely, right? And can't speak. She could not speak that sentence. She was stuck. She couldn't speak. In other words, whatever was in her past was still in her workings. This has been hidden for years. They've been in church for years, yet it had never been revealed. I mean, how many of you, it's crazy. It's a bit like suddenly me falling on the floor and I'm manifesting and you've got to cast a demon out of me, right? You see what I'm saying? So that's why I'm bringing it to your attention, because this is serious. And some things we're dealing with now on this planet is really serious, but we don't want to do it because it messes with our good life. The good life is really what we're dealing with. And so again, with Donna, we went through that. Now, you know, we don't know why, but here's something that you guys that, you know, aren't married yet is worth thinking about, is sometimes we don't know for sure. So you don't know. But remember that when you get married, you become one flesh. So we don't know for sure, but we're pretty sure, 80% sure, that when Jordy married Donna, what was on Jordy's life ended up being part of Donna's life, because it was the same statement she couldn't speak, correct? Now, I don't know about you, but I know for me, I care about you. Guys, you might think I'm going crazy. Maybe you think I'm nuts. I'm okay if you think that way. I'd rather at least tell you what's going on in people's lives, because these guys, you know, should be walking in victory, but we don't know if there's something hidden. Now, there is something that I would say about these two, was when we did this, they were serious about it. See, some people, it's like, oh, I'm just going to go through the process. I'm good, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, you're probably not. The enemy's got you already. You're already deceived. You've got to go underneath it. So I just wanted you to know that if you haven't signed up and you want to do this, or you have signed up and now you don't want to do this, you need to let me know, because in July, we're going to go through step one is going to be just individually, and then we're going to do step two and three together, and then we'll do the other steps, some of the steps actually together, because they're not as heavy duty. But I want you to know that step one, we really need to, if you're serious about walking in victory with Christ, I recommend it. Seriously, recommend. After this week, guys, I recommend it before. You heard me recommend it, right? But now I really recommend it, because I didn't expect, when Donna got stuck, right. I was really like, oh my gosh. How many of you are the same? How many of you see the importance of this? So I just want you to know. So if you're struggling in your walk and things like that, in some ways, it could be connected. It could be connected. So I hope I'm encouraging you to do the class. I want you free. And guys, if Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, someone asked me, what's my mission? Well, it's to destroy the works of the devil, because I love the people more. And I don't like it when he's got any hold on any child or child of God. Amen. How you doing? Breathe. Breathe. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to think what's next. But I think what we're going to do is, I want to move on, but this is all part of change in America too. See, you can't win if the devil's in your life. You're always trying to get something. Does that make sense? How many of you have got a life where you go, I think I'm doing okay, but I feel like I'm always going backwards? I go forward two steps, go back one. Okay? You just don't know if it's actually something on your life. We can deal with that, you know? But I can't, you know, so I'm going to leave it there. If you have any questions, speak to me later. Amen? Russ, get me out of this, okay? Now, my microphone's working better now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it good? Is it because it's higher?
No.
It's. We think there was too many bodies in front of it. No, I'm kidding. All right, Russ, could you come up and do the offering? That would be great, mate. Thank you. Healed and delivered. I don't know about you. It's really good if you don't have to pay fortunes by going to medical help. Amen? And so I just got to know, actually vision. Can we go to vision? That would be great.
No.
Cheeseburgers. What's your thing?
Potato salad.
Potato salad. How many of you are going to celebrate without fireworks?
No, we're at fireworks.
We can have fireworks now because it rained last night, I guess, did it? So why do you celebrate 4th of July? I mean, why do you really celebrate it? Freedom. Freedom from what?
England.
From England. Thank you, Phyllis. Thanks, Phyllis.
Aren't you glad to be here?
I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm here. So we're freedom from King George III, right? And according to most people, you're free and freedom from slavery and taxes.
Yes.
Not. So in a matter of 200 years, you're back to where you started. But the one thing is you have got that they didn't have, but the reason that a lot of the British people moved to America was you have freedom to worship still. And of course, you know, how many of you remember I was a New England Patriot fan? Well, because when they came, they went to the New World and they landed in New England. And so it became New England, like the New Jerusalem. I don't know if you knew that. So I didn't feel so bad about supporting patriots at that time. But the founding fathers definitely believed that this nation was built as one nation under God. They really wanted to start a country, a nation, that was different. And in America, you know, instead of being ruled by a sovereignty or the sovereignty of a king who was going to rule over you potentially with tyranny, the idea was it would be independent. And I think the word is a republic. Is that right? Republic. So the Declaration of Independence was the result. You all know this, but on July 4th, 1776, that declaration was inaugurated. Hallelujah. And so they formed a new nation at that time called the United States of America, which we're happy to live in, right?
Amen.
The declaration was not a declaration of freedom and independence from everything and anything. It was a declaration of intent to form a new nation. That's what it was for. And I think sometimes we forget that. It was supposed to be a new nation. But I want to remind, under God. And I had the privilege of going to, after 9/11, going to New York City. And there's plenty of movies out there about what happened in the Christian church. There's a little Christian church there where all the buildings fell around it. Everything was a mess. And this one little Christian church didn't get touched. Not touched. I was blessed or privileged because I was part of the mission team that went up to minister to the orphans of 9/11 at Christmas with Marines Toys for Tots. And we were able to go around and check the area. And I couldn't believe it when I saw this. Everything else was just flat, okay? And there was all the rubble and dust still all over the roofs and over some areas because they can't clean it off. It was just everywhere. There wasn't enough rain to clean it off yet. And so it was just covered in dust. But there was this one, and then there's the railings to protect it with all the flowers and the candles and the pictures of those that lost their lives. But there was this little church with candles and people were in there praying that had never got touched. And according to others, and this isn't Bible, but according to others, it was where, I think it was either the Declaration or the Constitution was actually prayed over before it was installed. I don't know if it was the Declaration or the Constitution. It's just amazing that this group of founding fathers came and did that in this little chapel. Yet after 9/11, it's still standing. I've talked about this before very briefly. There's a Jewish understanding, a Jewish roots understanding, that on 9/11, at the wall, the Jewish wall of Israel, all the Orthodox Jews were running around backwards and forwards across the wall going, it's today, 9/11, it's today. They knew something was going to happen. See, we as Christians, we don't know our Jewish roots. These guys know more than we do. And so they're running around these like it's today, it's the beginning. So they knew 9/11 was the beginning of the last war. 9/11 is prophesied and in their oral tradition as being the beginning of the last war, 9/11. This isn't biblical. I can't prove it from Bible, but this is their understanding. Okay, but it's interesting. It should be interesting. And they're running around. Now, what's interesting, they knew that was the day. They didn't know what or where.
Right.
They just knew. And of course, from 9/11 onwards, it's never been the same. Everything changed after 9/11. So this comes back to this little chapel. See, guys, if you like mystery novels and stuff, I gotta tell you, or how many of you like mysteries and or detective type things, novels and supernatural? How many of you enjoy supernatural type things too? You know, heroes, guys. The Bible's full of this,
uh-huh.
And we just get so caught up in other stuff, we don't even recognize that the greatest book for supernatural stuff we got in our hands, and usually it's just used to put your coffee on, in most homes, it's just on the table, and it's, well, we'll get to it one day. We just don't know what's in it. So again, the United States of America, I believe, was built upon God's, there's something about it. You know, is there a massive divine plan for the United States? I'm gonna leave that to everyone else. What I would say is that it's one nation under God, that was the plan. the enemy always goes to destroy God's plan. And he's done a really good job. And if you were here last week or listened last week, you know I got my spiritual muscles are starting to grow, and we're going to take back what the enemy stole. One person at a time. Amen. Not everyone is going to get it. Guys, I have to tell you, don't believe everyone's going to just rush in and receive it, because they love sin. Guys, they love sin. They love doing what they want to do, and so when you have to choose between something you know is disobeying God versus something that's obeying God, and it doesn't go with your flesh, because you're going, but I really like this. Unless they get their mind renewed, they will not change. And God's not going to take away their free will either. This is hard, guys. There's scriptures. Okay, let me just. How many of you know the parable of the sower? Yes. The parable of the sower. Well, you know the parable of the sower goes that there was a man who goes out, sows seed. The seed is the word of God. And then the seed falls on different grounds. It really should have been called the parable of the heart. And so the seed falls down on different paths. And those paths represent those that hear the word, but the devil steals it from them immediately. I mean, it's tough. There's four paths. That means there's 25% each time. Every time I speak, 25% of the people listening won't get it, because the devil's already stolen it from you. Okay, because he doesn't want you free, because he's got you. 25% will go, yeah, this sounds great. Hallelujah, I want to do it. And then persecution rises up where people said, well, are you a Christian? Oh, that's just stupid. And you go, oh, well, I like my friend better, so I don't want to get persecuted, or I could get hurt. You know, I could lose my job by being a Christian, right? So I walk away from it again. Okay, so that's not good, right? That's two. That's 50% of my message gone. And then the other 25%, which actually, to be fair, is more like America, is the good life. We like our good life. And anything's going to hurt, we go, oh, I don't think that's God. God likes me to have a good life. It's like, no. No, he wants you to have a holy life, a godly life. You know, we're supposed to live holy and godly in a nation that clearly likes everything but. Watch your programs on television. Come on. I'm preaching pretty good right now. You're real quiet about it. I might be treading on a few of your toes, but that means that when we preach the gospel to a whole group, let's say the whole of the United States at this moment saying they're unsaved, that means 75% of them will not make it into heaven immediately. That's not all right. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't like that. No, I don't either. But the devil's blinded their minds so they can't hear the truth, because they love sin more than truth. They love the lies over the truth. And he's a liar. So we're in a fight. You're in a fight every day. But I wanted to come back to, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 4, because this is what I really wanted to get to, and I've got to do it pretty quick now because I'm running out of time. But we're in a fight for our nation's life. And last week I pretty well showed you how it was occurring. Now the Lord's been giving me a plan of how we change that. Now it doesn't mean to say that we're going to be this NFL Super Bowl team. We may be a minor league team. Okay, I don't mind what team as long as it's Jesus's team. Okay? So, I wanted you to notice that even though America is one nation under God, Jesus, when he came, declared a new nation. You are a new nation. Really, America is really just the fruit of the Christians that came. The true nation of God is Christians. Jesus Christ followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. Guys, I know this sounds really hard, and I think we have to get tougher on this, but we need to get to a point where we acknowledge that the only people getting into heaven are born again believers in Jesus Christ, that they're disciples. Even that phrase, disciple, means to be he's Lord. I mean, it's rough, guys. Because, I mean, I've been saved for, I mean, how many years now? Over 20-odd years. And we're on fire. Some people get really on fire, right? And then you go through a process. But how many of you know these seasons can occur? You know, there's seasons occur, distractions occur. And so even in our culture, in our church culture has made us soft. Okay, if we by next Sunday remove all the chairs and say, guys, we're all going to have to sit on the floor, you'd be surprised how many people go, oh, I'm not coming to that church anymore. I'm going to go to another church. Guys, we're a consumer church. It's not about the Word of God and changing and becoming focused on God. Do you need some water? You okay? It's not about it's focused on God. You see what I'm saying? It's like we got to be so focused in our lives. Basically, everybody wants to see God return and a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How many of you hear that all the time? Everybody wants all the manifestations of the Spirit, all the glory stuff, but they miss this horrible word because it's a horrible word for those that like to sin. It's called repentance. I mean, we think repentance is just a piece of cake. It's not. Look at your lives. I went through that process last night, and I was like going, oh, man, I think I got to improve. How many of you know we can all improve? Okay, we can all pray better. We can all, you know, we can all witness. How about, I'm sure most of you pray and most of you read your word. Okay, how many of you led someone to Christ last week? Just one. Now, I'm not being harsh here. But that's a sign. When we're not reaching the lost, when we're not doing evangelism, the church needs reviving. The Lord spoke to me that years ago. The church needs to be revived when there's no evangelism anymore. How many of you now know you need to repent? The Great Commission. Your purpose is to reach the lost. You got it, right? Are you on your way to heaven? If you're here and you're on your way to heaven, raise your hand. We're citizens of heaven. We're on our way, right? So we're good. We're a child of God. We love God. And then he says, now go and share the good news of how much I love you and tell everybody else and then tell them about Jesus and then they can go to heaven as well. That's your mission. Yeah. And we're out there every minute of the day thinking how I can reach someone else. Yeah. No. No, not in this country. We're thinking how we can entertain ourselves. It's easier to read a book. It's easier to pray for the lost. It's easier to read a book about reaching the lost. It's easier to what's the other one? Oh, watch programs about reaching the lost. We got guys, I'm hoping I'm getting you refired. But we also need a place to bring them for discipleship. And that's what the vision is for right now. We need to have a place where they can grow as well. Okay? But most of us, I'm going to just pick on me. I think with all the things going on in the church, right? Think about your calls to me, things going on in your lives. And please, we mustn't stop that. That's working together. But it's time consuming. How many of you are time consumed at home with work, with kids, with families? And now pastor's going, now we got to go out and reach the lost. But that's what it's all about. Our life is that seek first the kingdom. Guys, we are so busy in this country with everything but. What we need to do is use what we've got. Somebody might have a 4th of July party. Maybe. Are you okay there? 4th of July, right? If there's a party, right? Use it to witness. Not necessarily harsh, but use it. Let's use it. Why are we celebrating? Let's pray over it. We've got to start thinking different. Okay? Amen. Because Jesus came not to just build America. He came for us to have a nation, his nation, a new people. So how many of you are Luke chapter 4? I'm getting there. Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, and as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. I'm sorry, I misread that. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Hallelujah. He said that. Did it say that? He said that was the moment he came to set the people free. Today, Jesus is here right now, 2,000 years later, by his Spirit, in the body of Christ, who is you. You could say this if you're a Christian. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Hallelujah. That's you. Say, that's me. Come on. That's you. You're meant to be doing this. Jesus went home and said, "I will not leave you alone." Remember, he sent the Holy Spirit to fill you, so he Christ. But remember that we're the body of Christ. In fact, the whole church is. But you have a part. We're all to be individual witnesses. And according to this, if you're a child of God, you have the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Guys, the Holy Spirit is the only way you get in heaven. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you're not getting into heaven. Because that's how he knows the difference between those that don't want him and those that do want him. Hallelujah. I'm preaching good. I don't know if you got this yet. Because this was Jesus' declaration of heaven. Heaven's declaration, let me word it that way. Heaven's declaration of independence from Satan's control. That's what he was declaring on that moment. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, he has chosen me to preach good news. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." Amen. Guys, before Christ, we weren't free. We thought we were, but we weren't. This was heaven's declaration of independence. Right there, 2,000 years ago, that we could be free. God was saying in this, he was saying, 2,000 years ago, "I'm not putting up with this anymore. Just like you did on England. We're not putting up with this anymore. We're going to do a declaration of independence." This is Jesus' declaration of independence for you. God is saying, "My kingdom has arrived. Now you choose. You choose which kingdom you want to be part of. Which country do you want to be part of?" Of course, we know Acts chapter 10, verse 36. Actually, let's do starting at verse 38, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. There was a battle. There's a fight. Sickness and disease is part of the battle. Jesus came in and just kicked devil out of there. Then he left us and said, "Okay, your turn. Come on, your turn. Get out there. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Cast out demons." That's the demonic realm we're dealing with. He set us free in the spirit realm so we could help others find our way out. And then the final will come when Jesus returns. The new kingdom will be established. But the issue is you are called to proclaim the gospel the same way Jesus is. You have the same Holy Spirit. You have the same authority because you're part of his body. You are the body of Christ on earth right now. I just got to get you to believe it so you will kick the devil out of your lives and hopefully out of other people's lives, because they'll get fed up with doing the same-o, ending up with the same results, which in my life or world is insanity. I know. Amen. I don't want to carry on here, but I don't want to get to, I just want you to be aware that there's a battle going on in the spirit realm for people's lives. And I've not felt strong enough to teach this to you until now. It's been coming. How many of you have seen it coming over 2 years? It's just, we got to wake up, because the writing's on the wall. And if we don't help save our kids, learn how to pray better, how to share the gospel better, then there's so many people that will not find their way into heaven. And it's because we didn't bother. Guys, all right, I'll ask you this question just for a smile. I want you to think about all the things you do for fun. All the things. Now, a lot of you are parents. I heard the sigh there. Well, I'm glad you take a shower. So, I want you to think about watching a movie, reading a book that's not Christian. The movie's fine. It doesn't matter if it's a Christian one or not. It's still entertainment. So, watching TV, just add up all the time you watch TV, listening to music, just having fun, okay? Just think about that for a minute. How many hours? And you might say, well, okay, and then compare it to how much time you spend reading the Word, and seriously, not just praying in tongues in the car, but seriously pray. Seriously pray, not casual prayer, serious prayer. So just count up your hours, okay? And then see how much that adds up to, and then how much time you go out sharing the gospel with others, discipling others, or sharing the gospel. I mean, and I'm not about casual. I'm about sitting down with them. Let's open the Bible. We're going to have a little Bible study with our kids. Add that in there, because that's seeking first the kingdom. Other stuff, okay, so I'm picking on me right now. Sometimes I love to, when I'm on a drive tomorrow, I've got to drive out of here. I'll be on the road for 2.5 hours. I'll pray. I'll have a bit of Christian music, and I'll be praying in tongues and praying in English and having a good old time. I'm not talking about that sort of prayer. Yeah, it's good prayer time, but that's not serious prayer, because I'm doing two things at once. It's not seek first the kingdom. I'm seeking driving somewhere first. Yeah. Come on. Now, it's okay to do it. Yeah. Add to it. It's okay to add it, but we've got to make sure that we really are seeking first the kingdom. I'm just trying to wake you up that you may be backslidden. I read something yesterday, so I've already gone, I did my confession last night, I'm good. So just want you to know, I was reading after John, Charles Finney, if you want to read someone really heavy duty, Charles Finney. And I was reading, and he's got a piece about backslidden. I'm reading it going, man, I need to repent. So I did. I mean, I was like going, man, I'm not where I am, where I think I am. And I thought, I know for sure that there's not many people that are able to do what I do right now, right? If you think about it, because I'm here 5,000 miles away from my parents, right? So I don't have to, right? Not that I would love to be there, but if they're watching online, I want to be there, but I've got more time, right? I have more time, so I could do that. But I don't have children, I don't have a wife, so I got 100% of my time is on the Lord. And I'm reading this, and I'm going, man, I feel backslidden already. Guys, if I feel that way, some of you know my life, all right? If I feel that way, how many of you know there's probably no one here that's not backslidden right now, okay? But what I'm trying to say is we need to recognize it and determine in our own hearts what we want to give God. Does that make sense? Is that all right? And I'm not, no condemnation, I'm just tweaking. Because the devil would like you to do a lot of work for the Lord, but it's really about you, not about the Lord. Does that make sense? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, one nation under God. Amen. We're one nation under God. And today, we're going to take communion together. And it's about us, one nation under God.